Welcome to Zichud Daf Sin Mani Mem Avram Goldar and Tamar Zechus Yavamas Daf Kuf Alef. The end of the 11th parak Nosin Ha'anusa and the beginning of the 12th parak Mitzvahs Chalitza. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara continues to discuss the implications of a child where there's a suffix, which of two men is his real father? It was on a braise, hikazeh b'chazeh, hikazeh, if he struck this one and then struck that one, or he cursed this one and then cursed that one, or he cursed them b'bas achas at the same time, or he hit them at the same time. He's chayv misa, for one of them is certainly his father, if Yehuda says. But bas achas chayv b'zeh achazeh pater. If he strikes them simultaneously, he's chayv. But if he does so one after the other, he's pater. Rashi explains, according to Yehuda, there are two hasras, two warnings, and each one is a hasra safek, an uncertain warning, and therefore he's pater. The Tanakhama, however, holds the hasra safek shma hasra. An uncertain warning is considered a valid warning, since it's clear in the end, even though the two men were struck at separate times, that a capital offense has been committed. The Gemara brings another braisa that teaches Rav Yehuda holds that even if they were struck or cursed at the same time, he would be pater, and explains that there's a machlokes hanaim on what Rav Yehuda held. Rav Chanina said that Rav Yehuda's reason for saying he's pater even if they were struck or cursed at the same time is based on a hekesh of blessing Hashem, which is a euphemism for cursing Hashem, and blessing parents, which is a euphemism for cursing parents. Malo malo she'en bo shutfus, af lamate she'en bo shutfus. Just like blessing the one above involves no pairing, so too blessing parents below involves no pairing. Iskish haka laklala, and there's a hekesh between striking and cursing. Point number two, the opening mission in the 12th parak states, Mitzvah chalitza b'shlosha dayanim v'afilo shloshin hediotos. The mitzvah chalitza is performed before a panel of three judges, and even if all three are laymen. The Gemara explains that this means that even though they can be laymen, the be'inim b'shloshish yodin ha'akrus ke'in dayanim, that we require three laymen who know how to dictate to the yavam yavama the psukim they must recite like judges. The Gemara brings up rights to the teacher of Yehuda argues with the Tanakhama and holds that five laymen are required. The Gemara continues with an extensive discussion regarding where the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda learn that laymen are valid and for the source for each position regarding the number of laymen required. And pointing with you, the Gemara suggests that Rav Yehuda's source that laymen are valid is from the Pasuk in the Parsha of Chalitza, La'inei ha'zakenim, to the eyes of the elders, which teaches prat l'sumim, which excludes blind men. Since a Pasuk is neat to teach that blind men are excluded, it can be inferred that laymen are valid, for if only judges on the level of the Sanhedrin were valid, why would it be needed to teach that blind men are excluded? For Rav Yosef taught, Kashim shebeisim menukim betzedek, kach beisim menukim mikol mum. Just as the members of beisim must be clean in terms of integrity, so too they must be clean in terms of blemishes, as the Pasuk states, kulach yafa rayasi umum einbach. You are completely beautiful, my friend, without any blemish in you. The Gemara comes to reject this source, for the Pasuk of Le'ene is required for what Rava taught, that the judges must see the spittle coming from the mouth of the Yavama when she spits before the Yavam. As the Pasuk states, Le'ene hazakenim v'yarka, to the eyes of the elders, and she shall spit. The Gemara concludes that Rabbi Yehuda's source is derived from the Pasuk Yisrael, which implies Yisrael Kodehu. Any member of Yisrael may oversee a chalitza. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Gemara continues discussing the implications of a child where there's a suffix, which of two men is his real father. It was on a braise, hikazeh b'chazeh, hikazeh, if he struck this one and then struck that one, or he cursed this one and then cursed that one, or he cursed them b'bas achas at the same time, or he hit them at the same time. He's chayv misa, for one of them is certainly his father, if Yehuda says. But bas achas chayv b'zeh achazeh pater. If he strikes them simultaneously, he's chayv. But if he does so one after the other, he's pater. Rashi explains, according to Yehuda, there are two hasras, two warnings, and each one is a hasra safek, an uncertain warning, and therefore he's pater. The Tanakhama, however, holds the hasra safek shma hasra. An uncertain warning is considered a valid warning, since it's clear in the end, even though the two men were struck at separate times, that a capital offense has been committed. The Gemara brings another braisa that teaches Rav Yehuda holds that even if they were struck or cursed at the same time, he would be pater, and explains that there's a machlokes hanaim on what Rav Yehuda held. Rav Chanina said that Rav Yehuda's reason for saying he's pater even if they were struck or cursed at the same time is based on a hekesh of blessing Hashem, which is a euphemism for cursing Hashem, and blessing parents, which is a euphemism for cursing parents. Malo malo she'en bo shutfus, af lamate she'en bo shutfus. Just like blessing the one above involves no pairing, so too blessing parents below involves no pairing. Iskish haka laklala, and there's a hekesh between striking and cursing. Point of it to the opening mission in the 12th Perek states, Mitzvah Chalitza B'Shlosha Dayanim V'Afilo Shloshin Hediotos. The Mitzvah Chalitza is performed before a panel of three judges, and even if all three are laymen. The Gemara explains that this means that even though they can be laymen, the Be'inim B'Shlosh Yishyodin HaHakruz Ke'en Dayanim, that we require three laymen who know how to dictate to the Yavam Yavama the Pesukim they must recite like judges. The Gemara brings a brisa that the teacher Rabbi Yehuda argues with the Tanakhama and holds that five laymen are required. The Gemara continues with an extensive discussion regarding where the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda learn that laymen are valid and for the source for each position regarding the number of laymen required. And pointing with you, the Gemara suggests that Rabbi Yehuda's source that laymen are valid is from the Pasuk in the Parsha of Chalitza, La'inei HaZakenim, to the eyes of the elders, which teaches Prat L'Sumim, which excludes blind men. Since a Pasuk is need to teach that blind men are excluded, it can be inferred that laymen are valid, for if only judges on the level of the Sanhedrin were valid, why would it be needed to teach that blind men are excluded? For Rav Yosef taught, Kashim Shebesim Menukim Betzedek, Kach Besim Menukim Mikomum. Just as the members of Besim must be clean in terms of integrity, so too they must be clean in terms of blemishes, as the Pasuk states, Kulach Yafarayasi Umum Einbach. You are completely beautiful, my friend, without any blemish in you. The Gemara comes to reject this source, for the Pasuk of Le'ene is required for what Rava taught, that the judges must see the spittle coming from the mouth of the Yavama when she spits before the Yavam. As the Pasuk states, Le'ene hazakenim v'yarka, to the eyes of the elders, and she shall spit. The Gemara concludes that Rabbi Yehuda's source is derived from the Pasuk Yisrael, which implies Yisrael Kodehu. Any member of Yisrael may oversee a chalitza. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Kuf Aleph, and this simmer was suggested to us by Kobe Melkin, who suggested Kuf Aleph is a bird caller going caw-caw. A bird caller going caw-caw. So here goes. At the bird caller competition, the reigning champ attempted to call out caw-caw to provoke a little chick to strike two roosters at once, while a panel of layman judges read out the instructions and watched carefully to see if spittle would issue from his mouth. Once again, slow motion. At the bird caller competition, that must be learned off Kuvalov, ka ka. At the bird caller competition, the reigning champ attempted to call out ka ka to provoke a little chick to strike two roosters at once, which reminds us, the Gemara continues discussing the implications of a child where there is a suffix, which of two men is his real father. It was taught in a brisa, he kazeh, if he struck this one and then struck that one, or he cursed this one, and then cursed that one, or he cursed them bebazachas at the same time, or he hit them at the same time, he's chayv misa, for one of them is certainly his father. Rav Yehuda says, bebazachas chayv bezeh chazeh pater, if he strikes them simultaneously, he's chayv, but if he does so one after the other, he's pater. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there were two warnings, and each one is a hasra safek, an uncertain warning, and therefore he's pater. The Tanakhama, however, holds that hasra safek shma hasra, an uncertain warning, is considered a valid warning, since it's clear in the end, even though the two men were struck at separate times, that a capital offense has been committed. The Gemara brings another brisa that Rabbi Yehuda holds that even babas achas, even at the same time, he would be pater. So at the bird caller competition, the reigning champ attempted to call out caw, caw, to provoke a little chick to strike two roosters at once, while a panel of laymen judges read out the instructions, which reminds us of the opening mission of the 12th Perek states, Mitzvah Chalitza B'Shlosha Dayanim V'Afilo Shloshin Hediotos. The Mitzvah of Chalitza is performed before a panel of three judges, and even if all three are laymen. The Gemara explains that this means that even though they can be laymen, the Be'ina B'Shlosha Shiyodim L'Hakruz Ke'in Dayanim, that we require three laymen who know how to dictate to the Yavam Yavama the Psukim they must recite, like judges. So, at the bird caller competition, the reigning champ attempted to call out caw, caw, to provoke a little chick to strike two roosters at once, while a panel of laymen judges read out the instructions and watched carefully to see if spittle would issue from his mouth. Which reminds the Gemara comes to reject the source that was brought from Yehuda that laymen are valid, for the Pasuk of Le'ene is required for what Rava taught, that the judges must see the spittle coming from the mouth of the Yavama when she spits before the Yavam. As the Pasuk states, Le'ene hazakenim v'yarka, to the eyes of the elders, and she shall spit. The Gemara concludes that Rabbi Yehuda's source is derived from where the Pasuk says Yisrael, which implies Yisrael Kodehu. Any member of Yisrael may oversee a chalitza. So once again, at the bird caller competition, the reigning champ attempted to call out caw, caw, to provoke a little chick to strike two roosters at once, while a panel of laymen judges read out the instructions and watched carefully to see if spittle would issue from his mouth. All right, now it's time for four blabat chazara. Dav Tzadi Zayin. So the simmer Dav Tzadi Zayin is a chess master. So here goes. The skinny 36-year-old Sari's chess master, that must be learned off Tzadi Zayin. The skinny 36-year-old Sari's chess master, who never listened to his rabbi's advice to gain weight, which reminds us, a person who never spread a pubic hair, nor had the characteristics of a Sari's, is considered a saris when Rav Shnosov have passed, the majority of his years have passed, which is when he reaches the age of 36. And when people used to reach the age of 20 without sprouting pubic hair, they would come to Rav and he would advise them. If they're thin, he would tell them, go gain weight. And if they're overweight, he would tell them, go lose weight, as being too lean or overweight can prevent the sprouting of pubic hair. So the skinny 36-year-old saris chess master, who never listened to his rabbi's advice to gain weight, played against a fierce opponent who married the sister of the woman he violated, which reminds us, the opening mission of the 11th parak states, "Nosin al nusva al mafuta, one may marry the relatives of a woman who was violated or seduced by him, but one who violates or seduces the relatives of his married wife is chayiv." The Gemara asks for the source for this ruling and brings a brisa that states, "Bechuan nemar shchiva, v'kan nemar kicha." In regard to all forbidden relations, which Rashi defines as arayas, homosexuality, bestiality, the Torah speaks of lying with them. Whereas here, regarding the wife's relatives, the Torah speaks of taking them to teach us derech lekicha asur Torah. The Torah forbade relations only in the manner of taking, which means that when the Torah says not to take a woman and her daughter or not to take a woman and her sister, it's referring to a woman that was taken in marriage. It would not be forbidden to take the daughter or a sister of a woman that was violated or seduced. So the skinny 36-year-old saris chess master, who never listened to his rabbi's advice to gain weight, played against a fierce opponent who married the sister of the woman he violated, while two proselyte brothers from the same father and mother refereed, who are known as the sons of Mr. So-and-so. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates that the sons of Yudin, the slave woman, were freed, and Rav Achab bar Yaakov permitted them to marry each other's wives, referring to their widow. Rava said to him that Rav Sheshes prohibited such a marriage. They disagreed when they were paternal and maternal brothers. Rav Achab bar Yaakov permits them because people look at them primarily as paternal brothers and call them the sons of Mr. So-and-so. Whereas Rav Shesha says, people also call them the sons of Mrs. So-and-so. Dav Tzadiches, so the Simmer Dav Tzadiches is related to Tzchok, and we use a clown. So here goes. The clown, that must be more Dav Tzadiches, Tzchok. The clown, hired to perform at the birthday party for twin boys, who were conceived after their mother converted, had them play pin the tail on the donkey. Which reminds us, we learned in Brisa, if there were twin brothers, Tetipa Achas Haya, Venechach Lushtaim, where there was one drop of semen that divided into two, and therefore no question that they shared the same father, yet in the Sefer, where they were conceived not in Kedusha, but were born in Kedusha, they are not permitted to do Yibum or Chalitz for one another, because they're not considered related through the father. The Torah avoids their paternity, as it's written concerning the Mitzrim, Basa Chomorim Basaram, Vizirma Susim Zirmasam. Their flesh is the flesh of donkeys, and their seed is the seed of horses. So the clown hired to perform at the birthday party for twin boys, who were conceived after their mother converted, had them play pin the tail on the donkey, and then only spoke twice. Which reminds us, Rabbi Akiva said that Kadosh Baruch Hu only spoke to Yonah twice, not three times, as a punishment for not wanting to fulfill Hashem's will. When the Gemara brings the pasuk, which refers to the time of Yerubim and Yoash, when Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Yonah, which would be the third time, Ravina answered, Al iske Ninveh kama. Rabbi Akiva was saying that Hashem did not speak to Yonah a third time regarding Ninveh. He did speak to him again regarding other matters. Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak said that he did not speak to Yonah again. And the pasuk is saying, like the word of Hashem that had spoken to Yonah about Nineveh, just as Hashem's decree for Nineveh was overturned from bad to good, so too in the days of Yerovam, Hashem's decree was changed from bad to good. So the clown hired to perform at the birthday party for twin boys, who were conceived after the mother converted, had them play pin the tail on the donkey, and then only spoke twice, before he mixed up all the kids and sent each one home with a different mother. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches, Chamish Nashim, Shinisarvu Valdosem, if there were five women whose male children became mixed up, and over time they grew into adults, were married, and died childless, how did the brothers whose parentage was known deal with the widows? Four of them do chalitz with one of the widows, and the remaining one does yibum. Then he and three other brothers do chalitz with another widow, and so on. Nimzu arba chalitzes v'yibum v'chol achas v'achas. This results in four chalitzes and one yibum for each widow. Dav Tzadites, so the simmer Dav Tzadites is a cheetah. So here goes. The husband and wife start to use five different colored cheetah skins. Cheetah skins? That must be one Dav Tzadites, cheetah. The husband and wife start to use five different colored cheetah skins to distinguish their five different types of children, which reminds us that it was taught in the Brisa, Ish v'isha pam shemolidin chamish umos. A man and a woman can sometimes beget children belonging to five different genealogical categories, an idolater, a ger, an evet, a mumzer, and a yisrael. The Gemara proceeds how this is so, beginning when a Jew purchased a non-Jewish evet and a shivcha from the market, meaning from a non-Jew, and they had two sons who were born to them previously. So the husband and wife start to use five different colored cheetah skins to distinguish their five different types of children. After their neighbor's child got mixed up with their daughter-in-law's son, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if a woman's child became mixed with their daughter-in-law's child, and the children grow up, get married, and then die childless, b'nei akala chotzin v'lo b'nyamin, any one of the surviving definite sons of the daughter-in-law perform a chalitz with the two widows, but do not take them in yibum. Shu safek esha zachiv safek esha zachiyavi, because there's a safek of each widow might be their brother's wife, who is permitted to them, or their father's brother's wife, who is forbidden to them. But b'nei hazakeinu ochotz and miyabim, the surviving definite sons of the elder woman, may either do chalitza or yibum, shesafek esha zachiv ve'esha ben achiv. Because there's a safek whether each widow is their brother's wife, or perhaps her brother's son's wife, both of whom are permitted. So the husband and wife start to use five different colored cheetah skins to distinguish their five different types of children. After their neighbor's child got mixed up with their daughter-in-law's son, and the Cohen's wife's child got mixed up with their Shifcha's son, forcing them to go together to get Truma as one. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Kohenish Nisar Vlad of Vlad Shifchasa, the child of a Cohen's wife, got mixed with the child of her Shifcha, and it's not known whose child belongs to whom. They may both eat Truma, but they receive one portion of a Truma at the granary, which the Gemara explains means that they receive a portion of Truma at the granary when they come as one. The Mishnah is, accordance with Rav Yehuda, who taught, in choking Truma le'eved elin ken rabo imo. One does not distribute Truma to an eved unless his master is with him. Therefore, neither child may come alone, as they might be an eved. The Gemara explains that where Rabbi Yehuda lived, hayimalin matruma lo yuchsin, they would elevate someone from the status of those to whom truma be given to the status of one who has the correct yuchus, meaning pure kohanim. Therefore, he didn't allow truma to be given to an eved. Daf kuf. So the sim daf kuf is a monkey. So here goes. The monkey. That must be on daf kuf. The monkey was trained at the granary to assist women first, to save them from disgrace, which reminds us. The Gemara explains that a braisa was saying, "B'makom shalchokim ma'aser ani, nosim ishut chila mishum zilusa." In a place where we distribute ma'aser ani, which is given both to men and women, we give the woman first because of the disgrace that the woman would face for having to wait for her turn among a crowd of men. So the monkey was trained at the granary to assist women first, to save them from disgrace. Was so fascinated by a safek kohen who brought a mincha that was both subject to kamitza and not eaten, which reminds us that the Mishnah Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis stated that in a case where Kohen's wife's son got mixed with her Shifcha's son, noisnu lav chumrei kohanim v'chumrei Yisraelim, we put on each of the questionable kohanim the chumras of kohanim and the chumras of Yisraelim. The Gemara here asks what this is referring to. Rav Papa said, "Min chasam." It was taught regarding the voluntary mincha offerings, nikmeses k'minchas Yisrael, v'enin na'achelas k'minchas kohanim. It's subject to kmitz like a Yisrael's mincha, but it's not eaten like a Kohen's mincha. How is this done? Hakometz karv la'atzmo v'shirayim krevim ba'atzman. The kometz is offered on the mizbeach alone, and then the shirayim are offered on the mizbeach alone. So the monkey was trained at the granary to assist women first, to save them from disgrace. Was so fascinated by a safek kohen who brought a mincha that was both subject to kamitza and not eaten, that he hired himself out to the safek kohen to help him sell truma and keep the proceeds. Which reminds us, the next mission brings different cases related to when a woman did not wait 3 months. After separating from her husband, she married someone else, gave birth to a male, and it's not known if the child is the 9-month-old child of the first husband or the 7-month-old son of the second husband. If one husband was a Kohen and the other a Yisrael, he may not eat Truma, but if he did, he doesn't pay the principal and the additional fifth. He may not receive Truma at the granary, but he may sell to a Kohen the Truma he separates and keep the proceeds. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.